Friday morning, just after 9 o'clock, as we make our way into an open phone segment for the next hour. And then, by the way, it literally trickles into Bugs and Hugs. So you might as well say we got 2 hours for you to join the conversation at 1-877-332-8255. The text line is open and buzzing this morning. We're going to get to some of your thoughts on the wildfire situation. Some pictures have been coming in this morning. We are going to be following up on that. We got a lot of different things that I want to talk about, but I'm actually going to go back to the phone line for a second because CJME reporter Daniel Retsch is joining me by phone this morning. Daniel, thanks so much for taking our call.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So you were involved yesterday in the announcement that came out from the city of Regina, and I know the city of Moose Jaw is involved in this as well, around a voluntary water ban. Can you give us some insight into this?
Yeah. So essentially, as some people might know, there's currently some ongoing upgrades at the Buffalo Pound Water Treatment Plant. And apparently there's been an issue just due to those upgrades. And so because of that, Buffalo Pound isn't able to provide Regina with a consistent level of water, which it's usually accustomed to doing. And basically what we've been told is that this is just a temporary issue. And so the ask of people to reduce their water usage is something that's supposed to just last a couple of days while they work out the issue.
I said the word water ban. It's not a water ban. It's a voluntary water conservation effort, correct? Did they give ideas of ways in which they're hoping people will participate in voluntarily conserving water?
Yeah, so they laid out a few. They suggested, you know, obviously not taking your car for a wash this weekend, for example, you know, refraining from watering your lawns, you know, avoid, you know, having that tap water running for a bit more than usual while, you know, might do some other errands or cleaning around the house, you know, make sure you're as conscious about that as possible, taking shorter showers, and only using, you know, the washing and machine and dishwasher when they're full.
Right.
Some ideas.
So you mentioned, Daniel, that this is a temporary measure. Did they give an indication? Will it be back as per normal by next week? Any sense of that?
They sort of gave a sense that it was going to last a couple of days. They did say some of the issues may be resolved sort of by the end of the weekend. But as far as when actually everything will go, you know, back to normal and there will be no temporary restriction, it's a little less clear, but they did indicate within a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Retsch is my guest. He's a CJME reporter covering the story of this voluntary water conservation effort that's been encouraged for the next couple of days. The word voluntary tells me no consequences if people don't follow it, but they're strongly encouraging it. Might it get to a point where it's mandatory and there could be consequences if you don't follow?
Certainly. Yeah, the city was, you know, pretty adamant in saying, you know, we're going to respectfully ask that everyone comply with this, and they were pretty confident that people were in fact going to comply with it when asked about it yesterday. But they did say that if the amount of water that is being used in the city isn't meaningfully reduced, they can in fact or will resort to more mandatory measures and mandatory restrictions that will also last a few days.
Daniel, appreciate you joining us and giving us this update. Thanks so much for following this story for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Daniel Retsch, CJME reporter from our newsroom in Regina. So voluntary water conservation effort is anywhere that gets water off the Buffalo Pound facility. So that is Regina and Moose Jaw, and really encouraging people to use common sense, essentially. You heard Daniel talk about it. Not water your lawn, for example, over the weekend. Don't wash your vehicle. Rinse off your driveway. All of those things. I mean, it is summer, springtime, a lot of people are freshening things up around the home. This isn't the weekend to get the power washer out and spray down the siding on your house, for example. Let's oblige the requests that have come out because they are doing this temporary work. But it is going to be an inconvenience for some people who had plans and had some things that they were wanting to get done over the weekend. We'll continue to follow that story as well. Okay, open lines officially open, 1-877-332-8255, and pictures are coming in this morning. I mentioned we got one this morning taking on the north end of Jackfish Lake. Just moments ago, you can see the shoreline. There's a boat on a boat lift, and then really past that, as you get towards the lake and the other side of the lake, it's just a dark, haze of smoke, and that is the scene in many areas. The areas that are simply affected by smoke, obviously, it's a challenge, but the ones that have the blaze in the background, that fire, which is ever present in so many of those remote locations, is the effort where the resources and the firefighters are focusing on right now. So we'll keep you posted on that. But again, thank you to people for texting us their pictures, their thoughts. You can give us a call as well as if you'd like, if you're involved in an evacuation effort or you've got family that are. All of these conversations help us understand, because many of us in the province at this point are hearing about the fires, are understanding there's a state of emergency, in many ways feeling helpless. And so I think this is what we do well in Saskatchewan, is talk about these challenges and what's going on. And through that, sometimes we figure out ways that we can help out as well. So always appreciate the call. 1-877-332-8255. I want to talk about this. I was chatting with my brother on the phone yesterday briefly about this. My brother's a farmer as well. You see this story about the farm south of Melville in the RM of Grayson, where they discovered pieces of harrows buried in the field strategically to cause damage to a tractor, tires on implements. This, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, someone texted in this morning and said, harrows, ? Can you explain? I mean, harrows are essentially used to break up clumps of dirt in the soil. Often, this time of year, often a lot of people, when they're out seeding, will have harrows as part of the package they pull behind the tractor, because it kind of gets those winter lumps and everything post-harvest off the soil so that the seeding is a lot more smooth. But the fact that someone took the time to sharpen the metal on the harrows, like, this isn't just the way they were custom. Someone took them to a grinder or a side grinder or something, sharpened them to a point, and then strategically planted them in the field in a way that they would remain standing and puncture the tires of the implements as they drove over them. They, by the way, buried them at stubble height, so you couldn't see them sticking out. It wouldn't look like a tree branch or something to the farmer who's in the tractor. First of all, disgusting. And I cannot wait to find out the name of the person or persons that are responsible for this. Second of all, this is not random. There's no way, with the hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland that we have in Saskatchewan, that for some reason in this small area in the RM of Grayson, that this has happened randomly. There is a story behind this. It's a ticked off neighbor. It's someone who was denied hunting on the farmland. There is something to this. And here's the other thing I know. In small town Saskatchewan, they are sitting in Coffee Row in Grayson right now, talking about this, and someone knows who did this. They have got Coffee Row. The RCMP would be best served to go and sit down at Coffee Row in Grayson, because you are going to gather more intelligence, more information, more leads to follow up on those conversations than anything else. Small towns, people know what's going on. And this is not random. And we will get to the bottom of this. I look forward. This should be an easy investigation for the RCMP to wrap up. It may not be instantaneous, but someone knows something. And I look forward to hearing how this wraps up, because it's disgusting. It's an absolute waste. You know, the other thing we were talking about is, if you think about the width now of how wide they're able to seed, you've got your tractor, you're pulling your implements behind your tractor. Whoever planted these had to strategically know where the tires of the implements were going to be as well. I know there's a few of them that were planted in the field and they didn't catch it in time, so there was actually damage done to the tires before they were able to catch it. But others were found in the field and fields nearby. So there was some strategy involved in this as well. So there's no way this was random. And this, to me, should be solvable, and should be solvable quick. And I do hope someone that knows something will come forward and help the RCMP out with this investigation. Disgusting. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines, text lines are open. It's open phones here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you.
I knew when I went on my rant about the harrows being planted in the field that the farmers would come out of the woodwork on this one. Thank you for not letting me down. Trevor with a text saying the farmer finding harrows with the spikes in his field immediately makes me think of a disgruntled neighbor or family member. I don't know what it is, but there is something more to this story. There's no doubt about that. In fact, I want to go to Calvington and bring Bruce in on the conversation. Bruce, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts on this harrow issue?
Well, good morning, Evan. Yeah, you're probably right. I agree. It's some kind of some neighbor is mad about a water issue or something. But what I wanted to remark on was those would be diamond harrows, the old style harrows.
Right. Yeah, not the spring tine harrows.
No, they come in individual sections. They're roughly 3 by 5 feet. All you have to do is lay one of them upside down in the field, and you drive over it, you're going to puncture the tire because they're really solid. You know, you grew up in a farm. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're heavy steel. But I saw a couple of pictures last night on TV as they were reporting it, and someone actually took a grinder to these and sharpened them to a point. Like they're not the way they come out of the factory. These have been custom sharpened to definitely do damage.
Well, they do kind of have a point when you buy them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these ones have been you can tell they've been sharpened. Yeah, which adds to the disgusting nature of this.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, Bruce, I appreciate you weighing in. You're right. The old diamond, the thick, heavy steel diamond harrows is what we're talking about here this morning. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of different things going on. With regard to the state of emergency, I saw a post on social media last night from Prime Minister Mark Carney saying, I am in close contact with Premier Scott Moe as his province responds to the growing wildfire situation. My government stands ready to mobilize federal support wherever needed. Saskatchewan, as you fight these wildfires and keep people safe, you have our full support. So that's from Prime Minister Carney. Don't forget, he's in town next week, Tuesday. He's in Saskatoon for the Prime Minister meetings with the premiers. So no doubt Premier Moe will pull him aside and have some one-on-one conversation, not just about the wildfires, but about, remember the list? Premier Moe sends the list of 10 things. Here's the itemized list of, you want a to-do list from Saskatchewan? Here it is on a sticky note. Put it on your fridge, Mr. Prime Minister, and that way you can stroke it off as you continue to accomplish the things that we're asking you to do. So we'll keep you up to date on that, of course, as it unfolds as well. Wildfires burn in the province. We see a number of resources, which include aircraft that are out there. We know a suite of helicopters were flying over Candle Lake yesterday, upwards of 9. Water bombers are in the area, not just from our province, but from other provinces. I got Tom from Choiceland on the phone. You think we need to be building more of these, Tom?
Well, yes, right, because I don't know where I heard it, but the fellow said that, hey, we build these water bombers in Canada. Well, why don't we build a fleet, like a fleet that we can help all the provinces out in Canada.
Yeah.
And even go and help out the Americans whoever we have to, right?
100%. Yeah, and you're right. We do have the ability to build some of these bombers and do in Canada. It could be a procurement challenge. Remember, we had General Hillier on from a military standpoint yesterday talking about how challenging procurement can be federally. I would hope that maybe we could streamline that a little bit, and maybe water bombers is part of that discussion. Text line has been busy, 1-877-332-8255. There are people that feel the state of emergency while the right thing to do has come too late. Jason Regina saying, with the state of emergency, why wait until Manitoba do it and then we decide to join in? The same with the tariffs. It feels like the province is always a step behind. 1-877-332-8255. Another text here, Kyla from Waldheim with a text. So she's traveling on the highway You can see rain on the windshield, so it's overcast. Looks like I think that's rain on the windshield, but it definitely is a smoky haze. Visibility not great. You can see an oncoming vehicle with the lights on. Great point to remember. We're always encouraging people to drive with your lights on. If you are in the north part of this province, it's a must. Some of those, in fact, we're going to connect here right away with a reporter that's in LaRonge and was up in one of the areas that was evacuated yesterday, the Weaquin area. So when we talk with him, I know he'll be able to help paint the picture of just how closed in it can be on some of those highways. Throw your lights on if you're driving around up there. And of course, there's areas where they're asking the public to avoid travel altogether. Let's go back to the phone lines. It's been a while since I chatted with Perry from Osler. Great to have you on the show, Perry. Your thoughts this morning, you're actually sending some appreciation out to Donald Trump. Am I right?
Yes. Thank you. And I understand now what he was doing. So what he did when he kept up his 51st state rhetoric is he called out the king. And, you know, our border is broken, and we do have a horrible drug problem. And he called them out to do his job, and they do have a job to do. They're in control of the military. They are in control of security of the countries. And, you know, they're not just there by name or and have nothing to do and have totally stepped back. That's not true. So what he called them out, and he sure got here in a hurry.
Well, yeah. There's no question he motivated some action.
Yeah, so I got to say thank you. You know, we get upset the way he does things, but how do you, when there's problems like this, is the only way is to call out somebody, and he's effective. And well, so now we know why he was doing what he was doing.
I think that is part of the reason, Perry. I will agree with you. There was some motivation intent behind it. I think there's other parts to it as well. I'm not a person that's convinced Donald Trump always has complete understanding even of his own intent when he's making a statement. I know there will people that disagree with that, but I'm not convinced. But that said, if we're making lemonade out of lemons. I'm going to agree with you, Perry, that there has been some real positive effect of that. Have I got time for one more call? Okay, I'm going to grab this call. Dave, must be on the road. Sounds loud in the background. Dave from Wolseley. How are you today, Dave?
Hey, good morning. Real quickly, as you and the country knows, how we always help out the U.S. when they're faced with this kind of tragedy that's going on in northern Saskatchewan and Manitoba with the water bombers. Have you heard of any help coming up yet?
I haven't. I'm curious to know with the state of emergency if that's going to trigger some help from the south of the border.
Let's hope.
Let's hope, Dave. You're right. Don't forget, we sent water bombers from our country down to help with the LA fires. Some reciprocal help from the United States would go a long way. And symbolic, I would suggest, on a number of levels, actually. Okay, phone lines are still open. Lots of texts coming in today. 1-877-332-8255. It's the Friday edition of Open Phones. We got a lot of things we can talk about, whatever is on your mind. We're here for you. We'll take a quick break with the news. When we come back, we'll talk with a reporter from LaRonge with another update of the wildfire situation and then more of your thoughts here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.